Open to the book of Acts with me. We are continuing the study in the 16th chapter. Acts chapter 16. We have just had a joyful event take place with Lydia, a seller of the purple, and her household. And now we're going to move to the next event that takes place in Paul and Silas' life, and that is the 16th verse. So Acts 16:16, we begin reading. As it came to pass as we went to pray, certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master's much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and Silas, and cried, saying, Paul and us, and cried, saying, thus these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. When her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in their stocks. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it's so sad that we have scripture verses as this, that when a good deed is done, is casting these demons out, that, Father, the world even would hate such a thing. And when a person would speak the precious gospel, speak those wonderful words, that the world would hate such a message. And yet we know, Father, that they hated your Son, and they will hate us as well as we proclaim your precious word. But as we are and should be faithful to proclaim your precious word, that your Spirit can penetrate the hearts of some, that they will hear and listen and respond and come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Come to your Son and be saved. Please, dear Father, just speak to our hearts now. You have these words before us. They're your words. And I pray that we just come and penetrate all of our hearts with your precious word. Those that are lost, that they'll find salvation through these words. And those that are saved, that will grow and learn and be closer and closer to you each and every day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of 14 through 15 and even 12 and 13 there, where we find where they went to pray, went to have their church service, so to speak. And it seems that Paul and Silas have not left that same place. They have returned. It came to pass as we went to pray. It's much like the same words that we have before, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made in verse 13. So it would appear that it's at the same location that he met with with Lydia. We're not really told for sure, but that's would give that appearance, and we're still here in Philippi at the same place. And so now we have a little bit different situation, a little different circumstances, because as Lydia, as they shared the word of God, as they were proclaiming the word, and as Paul and Silas were fellowshipping and giving the word of God forward, it was received. But now we look and we find a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us. What would she have to do with Paul and Silas? With the spirit of divination. She is a soothsayer. She is possessed with demons. Why would she be following Paul and Silas and the others? Why would she be out at this place of meeting if it is the same place? But no matter whether it is or is not, it came to pass we went to pray, and so Paul and Silas was doing the same thing that they were doing when they met Lydia the possibly week before. We're not giving any timetable here. But this certain damsel was present. And we find this word here, possessed with the spirit of divination. Now, at this time, in the city of, in the area of Philippi, they worshipped the god of Apollo. And the word divination is one of the names for Python, one of the names given to Apollo, a Grecian god. And he was the god of music and poetry and fine arts, and he even of medicine, the scripture, history tells us. He is the third son of Jupiter and Latna, if you wonder where he came from, as they drum up all these gods that these people worship. But they had great buildings and temples, and they would come from far and wide to come and worship this god, this false god. And so we find that, and the word divination is to divine, to fortune tell. And this was very commonly practiced. And it was practiced, and it would bring much gain to those that would be an owner of such a person. And so these folks that owned her was making much money off of her as she would tell these fortunes. And no one can tell the future, but when you are, except our God knows every day and knows the future, but as far as man is concerned, and even the devil himself, he doesn't know what's going to come tomorrow. He doesn't know what's going to come the next hour. But in this ability to say these words, these telling these fortunes, you can say about the same words to everybody, and you can make the connection. And so people are fooled. Even to this day, people go to fortune tellers, go to people that worship the crystal. There is so many, many different cults out there, and the witchcraft, the ones that are fortune tellers, and they come and people just, they're taken in by it. And so, and many times today, why it's there's money that changes hands. But the scripture says that it brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And that's in the end of verse 16. And this is gained, I believe, by these demon, she is demon possessed. Devil has tremendous power. Don't ever underestimate the power of the devil and how he has a great influence upon individuals. Are people demon-possessed today? Most certainly they are. And we, I'm afraid, entertain them from time to time when we see someone that seems to be out of their mind. They have no sense to them whatsoever. And the demons possess a body very regularly today and does it through many different means. But the only way that we can avoid being possessed by a demon is to be born again. You are born again, you trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. These demons cannot come in. There is no, the power that's within us is greater than the power of the world and can keep out these demons. Now, if someone decides not to trust in the Lord Jesus, they have an opportunity of being demon-possessed. And I can't imagine why anyone would want to go down that direction and down that road. Look at what this soothsayer, this damsel, this woman was saying. She was following Paul and had followed for many days, the scripture tells us in verse 18. But the word tells us these men, this is what she said, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Look at the words that this woman was telling, and she was demon-possessed. We have in the precious word areas of Scripture that tell us, and time after time through the Word of God, when demons come into the presence of the Lord Jesus or in the presence of these godly men as Paul and Silas, those demons, through the voice of this woman, acknowledge who he is. Demons know who the Son of God is. Man is foolish. They don't recognize who the Son of God is. They do not trust in the Lord Jesus, and the demons know who the Son of God is. The demons know these men are servants of the Most High God. That was the truest statement that could ever be said. Now, the question comes with a statement like that. Someone comes in this back door, and they would say, I look here and I see the servants of the Most High God, which show us to the way of salvation. Which one of you or me would put out our hand of friendship and invite them in? Wouldn't you be attracted to a person like that that would say those words? She's demon-possessed. What do we want to have to do with her? And yet look at the words that come out of her mouth. That's the reason today that demon-possessed preachers can lead multitudes down the road of destruction into hell. Because they can say the words. Demons, anytime they come before a righteous man, they would speak these words. Let's look at Matthew first, and then two of them in Mark. Let's look back at Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. If you question what we're saying here, let's just look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. Now, I'm not going to take to read the story that leads up to it. We're just going to read the verse. So this afternoon, you can go and read the rest of the story. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before our time?" Demons, when they come into the presence of the Lord Jesus, know who he is. And yet multitudes of men walked with him, witnessed him, listened to him preach, and yet they did not believe that he was the Son of God, and especially the Jews. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 24. Matthew, Mark chapter 1. Verse 24, Mark 1, 24. "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Look at Mark chapter 3, verse 11. Mark chapter 3, verse 11. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. When's the last time that we see in the Word of God that people fall down to the presence of the Lord Jesus when he was walking upon this earth? And yet there are three verses of Scripture that confirm that when the demons were in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they were in the presence, they acknowledged him of exactly who he was. As we do have here in Acts, the same way. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. This girl declares the truth. Or at least the demons inside her did. What wonderful words. No one could say any greater words when you come into the presence of a godly man that preaches the Word of God, or of the Lord Jesus himself, as we had in the other scripture verses. And yet, this woman was no child of God. She was not born again. She did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And yet look at the words that was proclaimed, that she proclaimed. This did she many days. But the question is, why was Paul grieved? Why was Paul grieved when you hear such wonderful words? You know, we hear this, you do, from time to time, too often. You ask folks, why do you go there to church? Why do you attend there? They don't preach salvation. Well, they speak the words. I hear the words. Do you realize who's speaking the truth here? It's a demon-possessed woman. We need to be a discerner of the spirits. We need to recognize who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth. These words were perfect. These words were right. But to accept this person into the fellowship because of the words she said would be the greatest mistake you can ever make. And to go into the place called a house of God or the church and listen to a preacher that, quote, says the right words. We need to be a discerner of the truth. And the only way we can do that is to spend time in His Word and study His Word, be filled with the Holy Spirit, so we know when that person's lying to us, even though the words are perfect. Can you imagine that? The words are perfect. You heard the words that these demons said whenever Jesus walked on the scene. You heard the words that this woman said when come out of her mouth of the men, Paul and Silas. Good words, right words, perfect words, and yet lying words, because she did not mean it in her heart. But isn't it something how the demons recognize the truth? The demons do. And we as mankind reject it and ignore it. That's sad. That's sad. So watch out for the imposters. Paul rejected her testimony. He rejected those words. Were the words correct? Yes. It was the mouth that was speaking them that had the problem. And we need to recognize that. When we're around folks and visit with folks and fellowship with folks, do not be deceived by their words. Your spirit, the spirit that abides within you, will show you whether that individual is a child of God, is saved. Your spirit and their spirit will be one. And yet many times, many folks, by the words that are spoken, become deceived. They're deceived from preachers in the pulpit. They're deceived from someone coming in amongst us here saying these words. We'd welcome them right in, and before long they would be in a leadership position. They'd join the church. Everything would be just fine. And yet they are demon-possessed. So be a discerner of spirits. Paul and Silas were. Paul and Silas recognized the problem. You know, the liberals love to share just enough truth to hook you. And that's just what they do. They bring just enough truth that you'll listen and then you'll begin to follow them. And we need to be careful. You know, Jesus refused the demons, and we need to understand that we need to do the same. This testimony that was given by the demons through the mouth of this woman. And they said wonderful words, but words that were a lie when it come to that woman. There's just enough truth told today. Many religious leaders, you know, invite liberals right into their church because of words that they hear. And they are not discerners of the Spirit. We need to be grown, we need to know the Word of God, and we need to discern when someone is not of God. You'll find very shortly that those that do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, they have denied His saving grace. They, in many cases, deny the virgin birth. In every case, they deny the precious blood atonement that our Lord Jesus has offered unto us, and all we have to do is receive it. Amos 3:3 tells us, can two walk together except they agree, they be agreed? And the answer is no. The answer is no. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18 is another example. In 2 John verse 7 through 11 is another example how that we cannot be unequally yoked. And that comes with being in business with a lost person. That comes with fellowshipping in church with a lost person, being married to a lost person. All those things is being unequally yoked, and that's where the problem comes. Many find it hard to tell whether it's true or false. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read that verse of Scripture. But again, the others are 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, 2 John 7 through 11. Please go home this afternoon and read those verses of Scripture. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So please do not be deceived. Look to the Word of God. Listen to the Spirit of God that's in your heart if you're born again. And be a discerner whether the truth is being proclaimed. And if it is not, then please separate yourself from them. After this going on for many days, these words being stated many days, these demons just continued to proclaim that same word day after day. And the more it came, the more it grieved Paul. And Paul turned, knowing that it was not the Spirit of God, even though the words are correct. But the spirit that was presenting it was evil. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now, right now, we leave this woman that was filled with these evil spirits. What's happened to her? Did she get saved? What happens when the demons by Paul and Silas are driven from this woman? She should be so relieved that she would fall down to the feet of Paul and Silas and request, as the jailer will soon, "What must I do to be saved?" But we sure don't know that, do we? Isn't it sad that Paul and Silas snatched out them demons out of her life? And she left, according to the Word of God, right now, this is all we know, that she left just as empty as she did before, awaiting those demons to return. And they will. These demons will return right back into her life and into her whole soul and body and control her again if she walks away and rejects Jesus. Now, she's one of those disciples maybe that trusted in Jesus and that God chose not to report that. But if she didn't, just to clean the house, just like a person, "I'm going to quit drinking, I'm going to quit smoking, I'm going to quit doing all these things." Well, there's going to be another demon come in. You must come by faith to Jesus. Now, right here, we're not told what happened to this lady. We are told what happened to Paul and Silas. Just because the demons are gone, just because the soothsayer is no longer present, sharing these lies with all that are listening and pay for that, we find that her masters, in verse 19, saw that the hope of their gains was gone. You can almost always, when it comes to this world, and you wonder why something is done or somebody says something, the easiest statement for this world is, follow the money. That's all you have to do. When it comes to a legislator or comes to Congress or comes to anybody, and you wonder why does this foolish thing take place? All you got to do is follow the money, and you'll find the lies and the evil people that are behind it. Follow the money. Well, it hit these people, and so you see, the devil lost his position in this woman's heart and life. But he didn't say, "Okay, I'm done." He went and stirred, oh, devil. Devil's responsible. The devil stirred these people up that owned her and said, "Do you realize how much money you've lost?" Oh, devil's a part of that. Do you see how much money that you're going to lose? And when the masters saw the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas. They didn't call the police. The owners of this woman caught Paul and Silas and took them, what it calls it, into the marketplace, unto the ruler. So they brought them to the magistrates. They brought them to court, so to speak. And all of a sudden, these slave owners decided to be legal. They decided that we need to follow the law. Because as the story goes on, they says, they can't do that. They're teaching something that is unlawful, as if they care about the law. Boy, you could read this in a newspaper today, can't you? Nobody cares about the law until it's to their benefit, and then they start yelling and screaming and squealing about all kinds of things. Same thing today. Paul and Silas, and you see, they didn't even hold, and we know that by over in verse 35, Paul deals with that, "You have unjustly judged me," because even though they brought him to the rulers, they did not have an official court. They were beaten and thrown in jail with no trial. And, of course, these people thought they were just Jews. They didn't realize that Paul was a Roman citizen. When that comes to light, that begins to concern them a little bit. But right now, who controls these rulers? Who controls the magistrate? It's the mob. It's the mob. Once again, couldn't we take this right out of the newspaper today? Who controls most of our government and what happens? It's by the mob. And we have nothing here. And so let's just read down through this. Verse 20, they brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Trouble the city? All they have done is taken this woman and cast the demons out. So you see, the old devil, he gets started with these lies, and there's no stopping. He's going to continue with these lies all the way. And then verse 21, all of a sudden they become very lawful, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. We're these lawful Romans, and they're teaching something that is totally contrary. Last time I've seen, I think the only thing they did concerning this woman, we're not told that they taught a thing. Excuse me. The only thing we're told is that they cast out the demons. That's what made him mad. It wasn't the teaching. So you see, they take one item and they take the lie and they just continue to continue with it. Verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. Where'd the multitude come from? Paul and Silas, Paul specifically, cast out the demons out of this lady, period. That's it. That's the event of the day. And we went from there to court, and it's a kangaroo court. And then all of a sudden, who stirs up the mob? You ever listen to these mobs today? What's the problem? I don't know, but I don't like it. That's just about the explanation they can give. I don't know what I'm demonstrating against, but it's not good. You listen sometimes. They have no idea what they're doing. These people had no idea what they were doing. They just joined the crowd. Stirred everybody up. Stirred them up enough that they didn't even have a trial. The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and beat them. Okay, we give up, the crowd controls, beat them. And that's what they did. No trial, no nothing. It's all because started out, these demons were cast out. Well, the devil didn't lay down. Then the owners of this lady, they got mad. And so that old devil found an avenue there. And so then we come to the magistrates, and the lies continue. Oh, they're breaking all kinds of Roman laws here. We can't have this. They're teaching things, and there was only one teaching that should have been done, and they're teaching something else. And so the lies, and then the multitudes, then all these rioters show up. What do you want to bet they shipped them in on buses like they do today? Same thing. Here we come. Forget the trial. Forget justice. Forget the law. Beat them. Let's take them out and beat them. What were they being beaten for? No proof, no witness, nothing. But that's how the world operates. And we need to expect that. And so Paul and Silas took the beating. And then we find that Paul and Silas were placed into the prison. And they were given charge, many stripes. They were cast him into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now, that charge there, as many times I'm sure you've heard, and that is that he is given the responsibility that if they escape, it's his life for theirs. So he is given a great responsibility that these better not escape. And so, after receiving that, verse 24, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. No trial, no reasoning behind it, other than the mob got their way, threw them into the inner prison, down in the dungeon, dirty old hole, and didn't just put them down there. These are such bad criminals that we got to put them in stocks. For what? Started out because he cast out demons, saved this woman from a life of hell here on earth. But see, that's the way the world thinks. That's the way the world functions. And it's the same today. It has not changed in the slightest. The good are in jail and the evil run the place. This jailer's given this charge to hold these two prisoners in the inner jail. Now, next week we'll come back and we're going to find Paul and Silas doing the strangest thing. They're singing and praying. I don't know under those conditions that I'd be singing and praying. Depends on what's crawling on me. Pitch dark, can't see anything. Can you imagine that? And yet they're singing and praising. They got a midnight prayer meeting. Let's see what takes place. Come back next week and find out. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank and praise you for today. And you go through these precious words that you have recorded for us and completed this precious book, an event that took place 2,000 years ago, and yet it is so prevalent today. So prevalent today. It's all about the money. Life is not important. Eternal life is not important. It's all about the money. Money and power, Father. We need you, Father, to bless us. We need you to give us power. We don't need power from the world. We don't need the money from the world. We need your blessing and the power that is given to us. We enjoy that precious Holy Spirit that lives in our life. We need to be, as Paul and Silas, a discerner of the spirits, that we know, even though the words sound right, it's not right. Help us to do that. Help us to not be deceived and taken in by others. And then, Father, whatever the consequences, that we would have the power and the strength to be in prayer, singing praises. What an example for us. Father, thank you for your precious word. Now touch every heart today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.